Go ahead and find your Bibles tonight and turn, if you will, to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 122. Psalm 122. We're going to see here tonight a Psalm of David in Psalm 122 tonight. Psalm 122. We'll read the whole Psalm this evening, all nine verses. Psalm 122 in verse number 1. Our Bibles read to us, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and my companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. A question for you tonight. A couple of things in thinking about this little psalm that we have before us. Really going to focus in on that very first verse where he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go into the house of the Lord. He says, I was glad. I was happy. I was excited. I was enjoyed to know we were going, if you will, to church. Where are we going? Where do you want to be on Sundays? Where is it you say, you know, where do I want to be at? Where do I want to go? Are you glad when somebody says to you, hey, let's go to church. Let's go to the house of the Lord. Are you glad for that statement? Are you happy for that? Does that make you happy? Does that make you glad? To know that, you know what, I'm going to church this morning, going down to the house of the Lord, going down to pray, to assemble, to fellowship, to pray, to give, to sing, to give thanksgiving to God. You say, that makes me happy. I appreciate that. I'm glad for that. Do you enjoy the house of the Lord? In the Bible, we find this oftentimes is termed as the house of the Lord, the church, the sanctuary, the assembly, the temple, the altar. You find in the scriptures where people of God enjoyed being at these types of places. They enjoyed worshiping the Lord. They enjoyed that. That was something of enjoyment to them. And I would think that there would be a real question to our spirituality if we despised the house of God. If we said, I do not like church. I think there might be a good question to say something of my spirituality, maybe something of your own salvation. Because as you read the scripture, to take it even further, I might say that not just to despise, but if we find it trivial or only meaningful to make it to the house of the Lord on special or certain occasions, we might say to ourselves, sir, something's wrong here. But when somebody says, you know what, I was glad. I was happy. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go down to the house of the Lord. That's quite another thing. To say, I'm glad to go. I'm happy to go. Because in the scripture you find that the house of the Lord was always something that the true people of God enjoyed going to. The true people of God enjoyed being at. They liked going to the house of God. And you see many examples of that. We find many instances and circumstances in the Word of God where people were happy to go to God's house. They were excited to assemble together. I even say that they were unhappy when they could not meet together. There's a great story in the book of Ezra. Maybe we'll look to it sometime, where in Ezra, they came there and they were building the foundation of the temple after it had been destroyed by the Babylonians. And as they built the foundation of the temple, they looked at it and some of them, sang praises unto God. But you know what the older people did? They wept. They wept. They said, "Oh, this wasn't like it used to be. I wish you could have seen it 70 years ago. I wish you could have seen it in its day. I wish you..." I mean, and they were weeping. They were upset. They couldn't be there and worship. It wasn't ready yet. So I want us tonight to begin to examine just why did these people love to meet together? What was it that they said? Why is it, David says in this Song of Degrees, "Let us go unto them. I was glad." Well, first of all, I want you to notice here in verse number 1, he says this. He says, "I was glad when they said unto me." I was glad when they said unto me. First of all, it's obvious that some had said to this man, "Let's go down to the house of God." Now, we know in the Old Testament, the place that he's speaking of was obviously the temple, and we don't have a temple anymore. We're not shooting for that direction. That was in Jerusalem. It could have been a synagogue. They did have synagogues in those days still, but most likely and obviously, I think the text is referring to the temple. And a lot of times we probably have in our minds what the temple was. It was a place where we took our lamb down to and we sacrificed it, but the temple was much more than that. If you do some scripture reading on the temple and find some things about it, they did. It was a house of sacrifice. It was a place of sacrifice, but it was also, like Jesus said, it was a place of prayer. He said, "My house is supposed to be a place of prayer." Ezra read the scriptures there. It was where they read the scriptures. It was where they taught the scriptures. It was where they gave guidance in the scriptures. In fact, in the temple area, it had a court for women, a court for men, and even gave, as we looked at last week, a court for the Gentiles. I mean, it had several courts that were outlined in the area so that several different people could meet at several different times and receive instruction from the Word of God. It was not just a place to come take your sacrifice down to. It was a place of teaching and reading the Word of God. And so when they said unto him, they said, "Come down with us. Let us go down to the house of God." They wanted him to come up with him. It tells me a couple of things. First of all, it tells me this, is that this man had some good communications. He had some good people that he was hanging around. Amen. I never hung around even any folks that was that were, you might say, evil communications that ever said to me, "Hey, let's go down to church." Amen. I never had anybody like that. I've never met a drunkard or a drug addict or a partier or anybody that said, "You know what? I think we'll do this weekend. I think a good plan we'll etch out on the schedules is that we'll go to church on Sunday." No, they're just trying to recover on Sunday. That's usually what recovery day. No, hey, we're going. He had some good communication. Now the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners, doesn't it? Well, if that's be the truth, then wouldn't it be the opposite be true, that good communications will strengthen good manners? It would. He had some good people around him. He had some folks that enjoyed being around the good things of God. They didn't say that they wanted to be in the church. They wanted to be in the house of God. You know, there's such a thing we call in our life, we call it peer pressure, right? Peer pressure. But do you ever realize that peer pressure can also be good? We oftentimes put it in the negative. We say that's peer pressure. They shouldn't be doing that. But also, sometimes peer pressure can be a good thing. If you've got some people to you, and maybe you've got some struggles, some issues in life, and you say, "You know, I just don't think this church thing, you know, and you've got some good friends of yours that say, "You know what? Hey, why don't you come down to church? I mean, we've missed you down there. You've been down in the dumps. I mean, you're not any better because you don't come to the house of the Lord. Come on back. You've got some good folks. They just want to love on you. They just want to treat you. They just want to see you. They want you to come back down to the place that you used to love, that you used to want to be at, the place where you used to say, 'Man, I love going to church. I love to come down to the house of God.'" I know he was glad, though, when they said, "Come on, let's go." Because when they prompted him to go, he said, "I am glad. I'm happy." He was happy that some people cared about him enough to say, "Why'd you come to church? Would you come down to the house of God? That's nice. Wouldn't it be awesome if we found some good friendships at the house of the Lord? Amen? If we found some good friendships, or found some good friendships with at least some people that encouraged us to go to the house of the Lord. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the Bible is very clear that Jesus died for the church. Now, he didn't die for these walls or these pews. He died for the assembly. He died for the assembly. He died for this body that we are at right here. I probably emphasize and reemphasize this enough, and you probably get tired of this, but I just think that it's such an amazing thought to me, is that we somehow get in our minds the church as this humongous thing that's out there that is all over the place. And don't get me wrong, there are churches all over the world. Good, godly, Bible-believing churches everywhere, okay? But we need to have it in our brains and in our minds that God died and God loves the church of Ephesus, the church of Thyatira, the church of Sardis, and he loves the church of Scenic Hills Baptist Church. He loves Scenic Hills Baptist Church. He doesn't love the property. He doesn't love the building. He doesn't care what color pews or carpet we've got. But you know what he loves? He loves the people. He loves the people. He cares for this church, this particular church. That's why it's sad when you hear that church doors close. In some ways, it might be sad. We could get into that, but I'm not going to. Nonetheless, he had companions of the Lord. He had not only that, but look here at verse number 2. It says, "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, they go up. The tribes go up there to the house of the Lord." Not only did he have companions of the Lord, but secondly, he enjoyed being around others that serve the Lord. Now look at this man. Now our little preface tells us that it's David that wrote this psalm. And he was really enjoying being around the people of God. I mean, one time he enjoyed being around the people of God so much that when they were taking the ark back to the temple, you remember what he was doing? I mean, he was just dancing through the streets. I mean, he was happy. He was going back down to the temple, bringing the ark with him. I mean, he even took off his kingly apparel. And then he was so happy that he gave out wine and he gave out bread and he gave out food and nourishment to the people. Said, "Here, take some, take some, take some." He was happy to be around the people of God. He enjoyed being with those that love the Lord. Now, the Bible mentions this, I believe, several ways. He says, our, which is plural, obviously, feet shall stand within thy gates. He's saying, we're all going. He not only does he say this, he says, but Jerusalem is built as a city that's compact together. We're packed in there in Jerusalem, worshiping together. And not only that, the tribes come. Not just our tribe, not just the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Ben, all of them, they come down here to the house of worship. Everything is about being with those that are come together to worship. Come together to worship the Lord. Worship God Almighty. Now, don't get me wrong. You can worship God individually, and we should. We should worship God individually. We should do that on a daily basis. But you know what tells me is that also that it tells me that this philosophy, well, I don't really need church. I don't really need the people of God. I can just worship at home. You know what, preacher? I don't like organized religion. You know, the next time somebody tells you that, I'd ask him this. So you like disorganized and chaotic religion then, don't you? No, God is, and understand, when I say the word religion, I don't mean doing. I'm talking the way the Bible uses the word religion, like in the book of James. True religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Okay? God is the, have you ever read Exodus, Numbers, and Leviticus and seen that God was very organized in the way that he did things? You ever read 1 Corinthians and seen that God says, you know what? There ought to be order in the church. There ought to be an organized something that's there in the church. Church ought to be orderly. I'm not for this chaotic mess, this anarchic mess, this here's somebody speaking, here's somebody talking, here's somebody saying this, here's somebody doing this. Paul even says, hey, watch out for that. Hey, somebody's got a word, somebody's got a preaching, somebody's got a tongue, somebody's got an interpretation, somebody's got this. I mean, everybody's talking at once, everybody's doing this, and the Gentiles, somebody's going to come in and think y'all are a bunch of crazy lunatics. They won't even get the gospel because you'll think everybody's talking at once and everybody's speaking in tongues. Everything's going crazy and chaotic. No, the church is organized. It isn't a place where we come to have an organized aspect of worshiping together. We come together. He says we're compacted in this city to give thanks to the Lord. We're put all together in this one place, he says at the end of verse 4, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. And again, we should give thanks individually, but we also come together as a response, as a congregation, and with the responsibility of giving thanks for to God as a congregation. One another, giving it out loud, publicly. You know what? I want to thank God for, and you say something. Sometimes we do that. You know, one thing that we do every single Sunday, this is why I don't put a box on the back. Some people say, why don't you just put a box for the offering, drop it in, you know, so that we can have it like that. You know, one of the reasons we don't do that is because we have a public time where we're actually taking, and some that want to give back to the Lord something, and it is a public time of thanksgiving. That's what we're doing. We talk about the tithe and things like that too. But you know what we're really doing? It's a thanksgiving offering that we're giving back to the Lord. We're saying, Lord, you blessed us so much. God's blessed me so much. I want to give back to Him. I want to give to Him. But the final reason we find here is not only did he have good companions, not only was he glad to be in the house of God because his companions were there. Not only did he enjoy the Lord because he was serving with his friend, serving with others down there. But thirdly, look at this. Now, there's five things here that he says. And I won't take long to deal with these, but I want you to see them real quick. Now, he says here in verse number 5, he says, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper thee that love thee. The final reason that David gives in this psalm for his love for the house of the Lord is that he has an opportunity in this setting to seek him. He has discovered that he's discovered in certain aspects of his life he could not find these things. It seems as though he has searched in some other avenues, but he's come up wanting. I can imagine his years in the wilderness, can't you? I mean, years that he spent there in the wilderness running from Saul. He spent time with the Philistines. He spent time in the wilderness. He spent time down even at his own hometown down in Bethlehem. But you know what? Nothing satisfied him. Nothing pleased him. Nothing was as good to him whenever he was able to get back to Jerusalem and get back to the house of God and offer worship and praise to him there. Nothing satisfied that longing in his heart. He sought God. Number one, look at this in verse number 5. What did he find there at the house of the Lord? He found thrones of judgment. He sought God's pronouncements. He says, there they are down at the house of God. 7 times a day, he says, I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments in Psalm 119, 164. He says again in 119, 175, let my soul live and it shall praise thee and let thy judgments help me. When you come down to the house of God, you expect to hear some judgments. You expect to hear some pronouncements, some declarations. You expect to hear something that might convict your soul and convict your heart a little bit and say, you know what? I need to be a better Christian. And I need to love God better. I need to maybe perhaps love the house of God, but I need to do something more for the Lord. It's plugging our heart. Maybe like that next thing. He says there in verse number 6, pray for the peace of Israel. What else did he do down there at God's house? He sought for God's pronouncements. He sought God in prayer. Didn't Jesus say, we saw it last week, he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And you've made it into a den of thieves. He says. He sought the Lord in prayer down at the house of God. It made him happy to go to the house of the Lord because that's where he got to pray with God's people. He sought God's peace down there. He prayed, but when he prayed, he says, I prayed for the peace. He says peace, I believe, three times in the three verses, 6, 7, and 8. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace be within thy walls. Verse number 8, peace be within thee. He sought not only his prayer, God in prayer, he not only sought God's pronouncements, he sought God's peace. He prayed for the peace of God. You know what's interesting about David? Is that David loved the house of the Lord so much that he actually wanted to build not a tabernacle anymore for God. Because we've got to remember in our minds, it may be hard for me, it's hard for me to think like this, but there was still the tabernacle whenever David was worshiping the Lord. It wasn't the temple yet. And so David wanted to love the house of God so much, I think he looked at that old badger skin tabernacle and said, man, Lord, you deserve something a little bit better than this. I mean, Lord, you deserve. And God says, I'm not a man that needs to dwell in houses. And David said, but I want to build you a house. And he got all this stuff together and he's getting it all together. And God says, okay, I'll have a house built for me, but you won't build it. Your son will. Your son will. What was the reason? What was the reason? It was because he was a man of war. He had shed blood. And he said, you can't build my house. David never found peace in the battlefields. David's whole life was full of strife. You ever thought about that? I mean, his family life. He had that affair with Bathsheba. I mean, there, even at the end of his life, I mean, he's having problems. But you know what he said? I go down to the house of God. I find some peace. I find a little peace. I mean, everything around me is messed up. Everything around me is just going haywire. I'm fighting here and fighting there. When I get home from the battlefield, I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn out. And he said, but what I want to do, I want to come down here to the house of God. He said, not only that, I want peace for everybody that's in Jerusalem. I want everybody else to experience this peace that I have. Peace be within thee. Peace be within Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, he says. He sought God's peace, and fourthly, he sought God's prosperity. He said, prosperity within thy palaces. He desired the prosperity of God. Within the confines of God's house, he sought after the success of God. And finally, he sought God's pleasure. He said, because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. The most important part of this man's life, one of the most important aspects of his whole entire life was the house of the Lord. Was serving Jesus. Serving God. It's no wonder that this man who loved God's pronouncements, he loved his prayer time, he loved his peace, he loved the prosperity of God, that it's no wonder that this man said, I was glad. I was glad when they said, let us go down to the house of the Lord. I was glad. It was his prayer life that gave him peace. His friends were there. He gave God thanks and glory while he was there. He found God's justice, and truly it was his source of pleasure. And it was all because of the house of the Lord. Are you glad when they say, let us go down to the house of the Lord? I want to close with this little quote. I thought it was good, and I want to say two or three comments and we'll close, but Mr. Albert Barnes, who wrote back in the late 1800s, said of David, his heart is there. His main delight is there. His arrangements will be made so as best to enjoy the privileges of the sanctuary. I thought that an interesting quote. He made arrangements to be at the house of God. His plans of life will all contemplate the welfare, the extension, and the influence of the church of God. It is religion, and again, he's using that in the true sense. It is religion which in his view, is the chief ornament of a place. Religion, which in any community is the principal fountain of its happiness and prosperity. Religion, which is the central and controlling influence on the private dwellings and the public institutions of a nation. You oftentimes see that when the people of God love the house of God, that people around them, in a very odd and unusual way that cannot be explained other than God, the Holy Spirit, working through them and through others, that things start to change in a weird and unusual way. But when you find oftentimes the people of the Lord leaving the house and not wanting to be around the house of the Lord and not wanting to do these things, you see sometimes it's very sad to see in some places just that excitement leave, that gladness go, and not be there as it used to be. The Bible says, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. May we be glad. May we be glad when we hear that, you know what? It's time to go back to church. Time to go down to the house of the Lord. May we be glad. May God give us that gladness in our hearts. Father, we thank you for what you do.